Hello and welcome to Things You Don't Need to Know. I'm Ari Kagan. This episode is a story that you don't need to know from a friend of mine. It's the time he got married in college. The first time he told me about it, he called it a green card marriage, but I think there's a lot more to it than that.
All right, what's up, Ari Kagan listeners? My name's Noah Gaynor. I'm a nice man.
What kind of intro is this?
What's my intro supposed to be?
I mean, I think a lot of people would classify you as a nice man, yes.
So then what's the problem?
Well, you have a story to tell today.
Yeah, but I don't know which part of the story do you want.
We start from the beginning. Every story starts from the beginning. It's right. Just about knowing where the beginning is.
Yeah, that's my problem.
This story begins at Juilliard, the Performing Arts Conservatory located at 60 Lincoln Center Plaza, New York, New York, 10023.
I went to an acting school that took a lot of foreign students.
He went to an acting school.
Yeah.
He went to Juilliard.
All right, dude. We don't got a name drop.
And while he was there, he met someone.
Kind of started dating right when I got there.
How was it?
It was really cool. It felt like my first like kind of adult relationship where like we really respected each other. We really helped each other out. There was real love.
It was going really well. They moved in together and they'd been in a relationship for about 2 years. There was only one problem. She was from England.
One of the things they don't tell you when you're being admitted, when you're international, is that you know, to stay in the country after, especially as an artist, especially as an actor, is very difficult.
It requires obtaining an O-1 visa, which is reserved for individuals who possess extraordinary ability.
I was in my third year at school. She had just graduated. She gets a movie with this guy named Woody Allen. She even got him to write her a letter to the government saying that she should stay. And we thought like that was her ticket to getting her visa, this O-1 visa. Basically, I'm in like the most intense part of my training, and she goes to this lawyer as kind of the last resort and gives her whole like packet, application, everything. And this lawyer says, I'm not willing to represent you because I don't think you have a strong enough case. And that was basically the turning point. She calls me. I'm on literally a 5-minute break at school, and she's crying and says, you know, I don't know what to do. And I had been thinking about it for a while. She, I've learned, had been waiting for me to ask, but basically I just said, like, let's just go get married.
What was that like?
It was weird because I remember in the moment feeling like kind of like relieved, because I was like, this will just like fix this problem. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like, I don't know, it felt like throwing money at something or it's like the easy way out, which is so weird because that's not what it was. But I remember hearing how relieved she was. So I go back into rehearsal, and then I think I came back out for my next break and I call my parents.
Aren't both your parents divorce attorneys?
Not both of them.
Okay.
No, my dad is a shout out to Paul. He's a consultant now, but he was with the Attorney General of Illinois for a while doing complex litigation.
Shout out to Al Capone.
Yeah. I mean, that was some real shit. He was dealing with like the mob in Chicago. And do they listen to this? Because
they might. Yeah.
I was just kind of frankly waiting for the call.
This is Noah's father, Paul.
So when I got that call, it wasn't like the happiest day of my life, but I was anticipating it.
My dad, it really had my back. And I don't know how other parents would react to that, but I was freaked out and he did not make me feel freaked out.
I asked him, if there weren't a risk of her having to leave the country, you wouldn't be getting married, right? You know, it's kind of the so-called but-for test, as they say. But for her, you know, having to leave, you wouldn't be getting married. He said, that's right. I said, so, okay, so then this isn't like a marriage. This is like a transaction. On the other hand, I also said to him, if I were your age, because I remember when I didn't have experience, I can't criticize you. I'd want to do the exact same thing you want to do.
So my mom is a divorce lawyer. Actually, what she is a family lawyer, so she'll do prenups as well. Anyone in Chicago listening, danerlaw.net. Yeah, it's a .net, I know.
The net was big at the time.
The net was big at the time. And my mom was in the middle of divorcing people, so she wasn't really concerned. She agreed with him.
You know, I'm the mom, and I'm also a divorce attorney. And when I saw what they were doing, like, you know, we know how this ends.
I think at the time I was 21. Jesus. I go into school. I have to go up to the administrative director's office and ask for 3 hours off the following Monday.
This all took place on a Thursday. So after a very long weekend, it was the day of the wedding.
Going down to the city clerk's office, you walk in there and you've got like women in these huge gowns and guys in tuxes. And there's these like places, like tons of people selling flowers outside and a huge backdrop in this long hallway where you can like take a picture in front of like the New York skyline. There's like a souvenir area and there's like two rooms with, you know, two chapels, basically.
Living in New York, I went to go check it out myself, and it is exactly as he described it.
You have to have a witness, too. So one of my classmates came who was he was from South Africa. And so I thought it was appropriate because he was going to probably have to go through with this same process, which he did. Actually, he did get married as well. So
how did that go?
It's going. Huh? That one's going. So yeah, that one worked out. Give it time. No, I'm kidding. You know, one thing my mom does say, though, and this is something that she always says, you know, talk to me in 12 years. Apparently 12 Ooh. Is the number.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. We walk in there. So I was wearing a denim shirt with a nice navy.
A chambray.
There we go. And the woman who was very sweet officiating the marriage, the ceremony, she had us like say all the shit. And then she was like, all right, you can now say your vows. And I did not have anything prepared. So I think I remember saying something like, we're doing it. I love you. And she said like a really nice thing.
Yeah. And in that moment, you realized you would never have a successful acting career.
Yeah. I mean, or just I'm too honest. I mean, first
we're
of all.
We're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it. But she believed it. And that was like that was the big thing was like I.
Why didn't you believe it?
Because I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want, I think like. I don't know. I always had this thought in the back of my mind that I was like, this isn't forever. It just didn't feel like it was forever, but nothing does to me. So I'm kind of like, maybe that's a problem I have, but it's just different. The culture is different in England. People who are 24 years old are getting married and having kids. At least the ones who had gone to school with her and so it wasn't so weird. It was like it felt kind of right for her. And I also think like the security of like after graduating and having been through like her first couple professional gigs, she was like, she felt like it was right. And I was very much in the thing of like, I'm like a skinny ass kid who like now is finally like becoming a man. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but that was the moment that I realized inside of me that I did not understand what I was signing up for at all.
After the break, married life.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Welcome back. I know my producer hates this joke, but if you're just joining us, Noah has gotten married and is adjusting to his new life.
Did everything change at that point in the relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was the first week like after getting married?
It was like this tug of war between transaction and like wanting to believe like the actual romantic kind of like this is supposed to be this way. Like my ex's family being, you know, the British, they were like very excited. Like we're like, God, we've been waiting for Noah to do this. And that was another weird thing for me because I was like, why didn't anyone say that to me then? Like if you were waiting for me to do it. I got a ring. That was a big moment because it was like, we got to do all this stuff to sell this. And I started wearing it and I would get reactions all the fucking time. I got back to school after summer and I was wearing it. One of my classmates, the guy who was my witness at the wedding, was like, God, it's just so weird to see that on your hand. I kept having the thought, like, I just need support, please, from everyone. Like, I don't need to hear how weird it is. I already feel weird. And like my class threw a party for me and my ex didn't want to come because she was so embarrassed. That was one of the times I really loved being married because I was like, oh my God, people are like celebrating us. Like they were celebrating this thing that I hadn't fully celebrated myself. You know, my grandpa, like who I love, who's a great guy, he got married when he was 21. So he calls me and he's like, you know, we're the same. And I'm like, yeah, except that was 1957, I think.
I'm from a different generation. You know, I got married at that age, and almost everybody I knew was married at about that age.
I said to him, well, you know, my dad says this is a transaction, like that this is, you know, obviously we're still together. We want to be together, but this is not a real marriage. And he said, let me tell you something. All marriages are, you know, the thing they have in common is it's a yes or no question. And you said yes. So now you're married. So I wouldn't think anything otherwise.
I didn't view it as a transaction. And I really doubt that they did. It seemed to me that they were in love.
So you're married for about a week at this point in my storyline.
Yeah.
And you've realized that things are a little different.
Yeah.
And people are all around you telling you different things in your family and kind of just like trying to help you out and support you.
Yeah.
What was it like between you and her?
It was really confusing. Like there were these moments where we kept talking about it. We kept talking about what it meant, what we were doing. This was a time when I was I never wanted any conflict. So I was always trying to be like, I would say whatever would make her feel good. And so I did a lot of indulging the real part of the marriage, which I really regret now because I think it created expectations that I even didn't believe, but she did.
Where did you live?
110 and or no 106 in Columbus. It was kind of nice over there. Yeah,
that's kind of nice.
With a roommate.
Oh,
which was kind of
what was that like?
It was just weird. Like the whole thing was weird. Like we were in a real relationship. I mean, we did everything. Yeah. Like the weirdest was like we were around. She was doing a play and we were around like a bunch of actors who were older than us by like, you know, at least 20 years. And they would all be like, so how's your husband? So Noah, the husband. And I'd be like, don't do that. Like, you don't even believe that. Yeah. And like, you know, but it was real. It was what it was. It was, that's what it was.
Did you ever go to weddings together?
No, we did cater weddings together.
Oh, fascinating.
Which was kind of weird. So I think we've at this point been married for March to October, so whatever amount of months that is.
If you guessed 7, you're correct.
I think she was doing a play or some shit or was not there. I don't remember why. And my dad called me. And he had clear this had been on his mind for a while, clearly. And he was the one guy, transaction, like this is not real. Like please don't, you know. So anyway, he calls me. He says to me, you know, something's about to happen. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you're becoming like a man, like the way you look. And I was like, thank you.
I felt that the problem for Noah in this relationship was he's a social, outgoing person who should have been engaging it with more people. And she wasn't. Not that, again, I'll say over and over, really good person, nice person, all of that. But she didn't want to even leave the apartment, literally. We never drop the J name because it's just too irritating, but he was at a really prestigious institution, and the opportunities that he had all the time to hang out with certain people or be with certain people, that's what it's all about. And I was very concerned that he wasn't passing up those opportunities.
He gives me the spiel of, like, when I was your age, I was having a lot of sex with different women. I mean, this is literally what he was saying to me.
I didn't envision my son, who had dated a couple women in his life, that this was going to be the last stop on the tour of, you know, life's relationships.
He's like, as your dad, I just want you to have experiences, and I want you to explore, and I want you to, like, put yourself out there. And so just remember what I've been telling you about this marriage. And that conversation hit me very hard.
You know, I just wanted him to get out. So it was really just like, okay, get out. You know, I want, but I didn't say that. Okay, because I also knew that he had to get to this decision by himself.
I remember thinking, okay, I'm not staying. That was the moment when I was like, okay, I'm not staying married. It's interesting because I went on to be married for a year after that conversation, which is kind of wild. So then I graduate from school. That was a big moment too. I started being like, oh shit, okay, how's my life going? I went from having these 14-hour days at school to just having like free days, side jobs, and just like fucking around. I started wanting to like have other people in my life from, you know, other times, like friends from Chicago who now live in New York, people who were not actors. And my ex was like very, she just wasn't, we didn't have similar interests when it came to that stuff. I got my like first job that was gonna take me out of town.
It was a feature film by the name of Dead Sound.
So I go out to do this movie. It was in Block Island, which is a really fun place. We were actually in an okay spot when I left. And 4 days in, we have our first day off. And I call my wife to say, I love you. I'm having my first, we're going to go out. Can't wait to tell you all about everything tomorrow. I have the whole day off. Like, we can FaceTime, whatever. She has a full-on breakdown. Is like, I need you to talk to me right now. Otherwise, like, I'm going to lose my shit. I was like, you're ruining my first movie experience. Like, which, you know, she was. So then I hang up. She calls me like 40 times. I'm getting wasted, not answering. And then I basically go to sleep at like 4 a.m. And I woke up at 8 and I knew I was going to call her and end our relationship. And I FaceTimed her and I said, I will do anything you want, anything that you need to keep your green card, to have you stay in the country, but I'm done. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing I can say. This is it. And that was horrible.
Why? It,
I mean, first of all, I think that's kind of shitty. I think there's no good way to do it, but like, you know, I know the criticism I'll get from, like, it's very easy to get pissed at someone for doing it that way. Cause mm-hmm. It's like, you're not giving like the full. So then from that point on, we only corresponded via email, and it was very formal and super uncomfortable.
3 weeks later, Noah would return to New York and she would move out of their apartment.
Going into an apartment that you've shared with someone for a long time and seeing half the shit gone is a very, that was the, and that was the first person I ever lived with. And like, that was shocking to me. And that made me realize it was for real. I remember just thinking like, do I just like do things alone now? Do I, you know, and then also just like, did I just ruin this person's like life?
So how did you actually get divorced?
What was kind of interesting was we were in the middle of doing a post-nup, which is the same as a prenup, except after. and my mom can't practice. She you know, the laws in different states are different for all of this shit. And so she had gotten us a lawyer to do the, or gotten me a lawyer to do the post-nup. And I was supposed to call him to schedule a meeting to do that. And then eventually I was getting divorced. So I called him and I was like, hey, remember that thing we were going to do? Can you actually represent me for something else? And so it was pretty simple, like, because we didn't share anything. you know, had no assets or anything. It was just kind of like, you got to sign these papers. And then it took like a certain amount of time to process, which is, I think, why she ended up getting the green card. Cause we split up in October, almost November. We got technically divorced in April. So it took like a long time. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing her signature on the paper. Like, that was the last like correspondence I had with her, was seeing her signature on the fucking divorce paper.
Well, I think the divorce itself was painful, as all divorces are, even though it was pretty bloodless. And it just took time to get done. And it was sad. Almost all divorces are sad, no matter how nasty they start out. So this was just a sad end to a sad breakup.
These connections you build with people and the relationship you build is has a lot of layers to it. And I just don't even know if I'll ever be married again or if I'll ever be in something like that, because I don't trust it. And I don't find it to be, it's so funny because my next girlfriend was this person who like really wanted like the like Disney, you know, we're meant for each other and you're the one and all this bullshit. And I remember being like, God, maybe I should go along this path now, because like I didn't really indulge it in that way. And now I'm just like, no. Mm-hmm. When you're forming these partnerships, which are great things, like, don't be thinking about all this bullshit, and don't be worrying about the marriage. Don't be worrying about what it may turn into. Just be with the fucking person and try to build on like helping each other and helping yourself and loving and enjoying it and indulging the hard parts. So we'll see. I mean, it's made me have a really hard time opening up to people in a way that I truly believe will be worth it for someone to want to be with me. And I don't say that to like have a pity party, because fuck off. But I do say it to be like, look, it definitely it fucks with me. But I think the success, at least the success from this one, was that like, I think we both actually made each other better for going through all of this shit together. And like, there was obviously trauma, as there is in any relationship ending. And yet like, I never felt any sort of like hate towards her or like any sort of negative feelings. I felt just like, it was almost like, it really just felt like the end of a chapter.
You know, he wasn't ready to get married.
This is Noah's grandfather again.
But, you know, I wouldn't characterize it as a green card marriage at all. And it's interesting. I mean, if you look at the end of it, you know, she got the green card, right? And she's back in England. It wasn't like she was desperate to be here except for him.
A couple months after they got divorced, that summer actually, she booked a play in Noah's hometown of Chicago.
And my grandpa went to the show.
I fucking knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Her picture was on all of the lampposts, you know, and we go to that theater anyway. So I went to see the play.
And he waits after.
Oh my God.
And he took her out to a bar. And this is honestly the sweetest fucking thing. And I love this guy for this, because like this is what gave me the closure. Was she said to him, apparently, you know, I feel like I fucked it up. And I think she felt that way because I think she regretted losing her shit when I was on my first job. She said, like, I feel like I fucked it up. I feel like I ruined it and it's my fault. And he said to her, it's no one's fault. You know, you were young, and like that he loved both of us. That honestly is some sweet ass fucking shit.
I really hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back next week with our regularly scheduled programming. I'll be playing professional poker. And as always, thanks for listening. Things You Don't Need to Know is a Hyperobject Industries production. The show is hosted and written by me, Ari Kagan, and produced by Harry Nelson, Claire Slaughter, Jordan Allen, and also me. Additional help from Daniel Truo-Mattis, our executive producer is Adam McKay. If you like Things You Don't Need to Know, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and hit subscribe. Also, if you like this show, I'd really appreciate it if you give us a review. It really helps us out. Believe it or not, in the next episode, I am flying to Vegas to play poker. It's the first time I've ever gambled in a casino, so I have no idea if it'll be any good, but I can guarantee you we'll have a good episode. So wish me luck, and I will let you know what happens next week.